Good morning, Crossville Church. It is so good to see you in the service this morning. We're glad that you're here and hope that the Lord blesses you today as we worship today on this first Sunday of Advent. What a wonderful way, a beautiful day to start off Advent after yesterday was so bad. You know, I'm just so thankful that we've got a beautiful day this morning. Let me remind you of a few announcements. Choir practice this afternoon at 4:30. I knew it was different than what I had right here. And so be sure and remember that this afternoon, choir at 4:30. Small groups at 6 o'clock. If you're part of the Good News group, the sheets for this evening are back at the sound booth. The Christmas store will be tomorrow and Tuesday, and that's going to be in the Family Life Center. That's a little bit of a change from years before, but they're going to be moving down there and easier to get in and out of. And so be sure and remember Christmas store. And they're already beginning, or at least starting, to take stuff for next year. Right now is the time to buy some of this stuff, especially when it goes on sale right after Christmas. And so if you want to begin that process for next year, that's great. So be sure to remember that. Trail Life and American Heritage Girls, tomorrow night at 6:30. Both of those groups are going to be together tomorrow night in the Fellowship Hall here in this building. So if you're part of that, be sure and remember that tomorrow night at 6:30. All church Christmas dinner is Wednesday evening, and we're going to have a great time. If you have not picked up your ham or your turkey today, had not picked up your ham or your turkey yet, be sure and pick it up today. And we will have the doors down there open so that you can go down there and pick it up. Be sure and remember to bring side dishes and desserts and all that kind of stuff for the meal. And if you invite somebody, be sure and bring enough for them. And you guys have been wonderful about this. One church, I won't say which one, it's not the one you're thinking, it was the other one. But we told them to be sure and bring, you know, enough for people to eat. And one lady brought one small can of corn. That does not feed very many people. So be sure and help us out on that for Wednesday evening. We're going to have a great time together as we celebrate Christmas. MOPS is Thursday, 9:30 till 11, and then 6 until 7:30. Prayer time here at the church on Friday. Young at Heart, you're going to the Cumberland County Playhouse next Friday evening. You need to be there if you're going to go with this group. The tickets have already been purchased, and you need to be there no later than 7 o'clock. Friday evening, if you are going to with the Young at Heart on Friday evening. Men's ministry is Saturday morning. This is a full week, folks, and that will be at 9 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall in this building. If you're planning to be there and be a part of that, be sure and let Wayne know. Christmas Cantata is next Sunday morning as a part of our morning worship service, and so you come, and I know that you're going to receive a blessing as we come together next Sunday morning for second Sunday of Advent and also for Christmas, the Christmas Cantata. The teens are selling, or they're still taking orders for Rada knives, and those orders have to be placed by December the 13th in order to get those here by Christmas. And so if you want to order those Rada knives before as a Christmas gift, you need to talk to somebody today or next Sunday about that. So, any other announcements? Thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving, and we do appreciate it. The offering boxes are in the back of the sanctuary and by the sound booths on each side. And thank you for your faithfulness in giving. It means so much as the board works and as we plan, to know that you are so faithful in giving, and we just want to say thank you for that.
Thank you.
Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent means coming. And in this season, we prepare for the coming of Christ. As in years past, we are celebrating Advent with an Advent wreath and the lighting of the candles to remind us of the gift of Christ who came into the world. The Advent wreath includes a lot of symbolism to help us think about Christ and His gifts. The wreath itself is in the shape of a circle. A circle has no beginning and no end, and this reminds us that there is no beginning and no end to God, and that God's love and caring are forever. The light from the candle, which will grow stronger each week as we go through Advent, reminds us that Jesus is the light of the world. Today we realize that Christ is coming, but with all that is going on in the world around us, not many people are that excited about it. They're going through the motions, but their eyes are looking at what's being displayed on the news and on social media. Their ears hear the anger of people in various places, and we wonder what the future is going to hold. For many, many people that you know, many people that I know, they are filled with hopelessness. But God is still involved. He is still involved in our world. And on this first Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of hope. We have hope because God is ever faithful and will keep the promises that He has made to us. The Apostle Paul prays for the Roman Christians in Romans chapter 15, verses 12 through 13, and says to them, "May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." That prayer was for the Roman Christians, but I believe that prayer is for us today. Christ has come. Christ is coming. We as Christians look forward to our Christmas celebration, and we light this first candle in hope that because God sent us His Son, that brings us hope not only to us but to people everywhere. There was hope in His first advent. There is hope in His second advent. Today we light the candle of hope. Our Father, we ask that as we go through this Advent season, that You would bless us, that You would help us, that You would fill us with Your joy and peace and hope as we trust in You. And I ask You, God, that You would help us that we might display Your hope in a world that is very hopeless, or at least it seems that way. May we spread the good news that Jesus Christ has come into this world and that He is coming again and that we can be ready to meet Him. We thank You, Lord, for this time that we have together. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, stand with me this morning as you're able and let's sing together. This next song we're going to sing kind of talks about the fact that the world we live in is a little bit crazy. And it's not exactly the way that God intended for it to be. So we have a problem in the world that we live in today, and that problem is sin. But I'm thankful that 2,000 plus years ago, we were given a solution to that problem. A little baby came and was born in a manger so that we didn't have to live with the effects of those problems in our life. We can live above sin, and I'm thankful for that. That doesn't mean that the world is not going crazy around us. It just means that while the world's going crazy around us, we can know that it's held in the hand of a God who loves us and cares for us. We can hope in the fact that a better day is coming. And when we all get to heaven, that's when that day is going to arrive. So let's sing together this morning as we think about the day that is coming when everything is made right and we no longer have to live in this crazy, crazy world that we currently are a part of.
One day you'll make everything new, Jesus. One day you will bind every wound. The former things shall all pass away, no more tears. One day you'll make sense of it all, Jesus. One day every question resolved. No more fear.
We are so thankful, Lord, that you came the first time. You came, you lived, you died. You were resurrected and you ascended into heaven. Proved you were God. It proved that you were a God that could take care of the situations and the circumstances of our lives. You came. You dwelt among us. You set up your tent here, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord, that in this time that we can think about what you did do. But we're so thankful, Lord, that you are still in the business of working in our hearts and lives. There's not a burden that we bear. There's not a pain that we experience that you're going to waste. You are working through the pain. You are working through the circumstances. You are working through the situations to reveal Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so, Lord, this morning, as we begin to look into your word, as we're approaching this Christmas season, I ask you, God, that you would bless us and that you would help us. And that, Lord, in a world where things do seem hopeless, oh God, help us to remember that we are not people of a hopeless end, but we are people of an endless hope. Such a dramatic difference. Thank you that you are the gift of Christmas and that we can celebrate that today. May you bless and help. May your Holy Spirit come and do his work in our hearts and lives now as we look into your word together. And for what you're going to accomplish in us, in this room, for those who are watching on Facebook, we believe, God, you're going to do great and mighty things, and so we thank you in advance for that today. Bless us, help us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's Christmas. Almost. You know. Boy, I don't know about you, but it, you know, December hit and we hit the ground running. We got everything happening over the weekend, and we got about 190 people fed down there yesterday. And before Christmas, I mean, before Thanksgiving ever got here, my neighbors down the street had their lights all up. The stores have been going since September. I mean, in July, Susie and I went to Hobby Lobby when we were in Baton Rouge for the wedding that I did down there. We went to Hobby Lobby in Baton Rouge, and they already had the trees up everywhere. And for the Grinch that I am, you know, that was not a blessed sight. But anyway, I've been watching as I've been going to Walmart, and I have tried to make those trips very few and far between these days. The people as they are over there, and I'm telling you, they're already snatchy grabby this year, you know. Do you know what I mean by that? Some of you are shaking your head, yes. Some of you are going, huh? But anyway, a few years back, our family has always decided, you know, we've always drawn names. Susie actually worked us into something different this year, and it was a lot of fun, but you know, we've been drawing names for years and years and years. And with the family, you know, the family was beginning to get a little larger. And so we did continue to draw names. But we set a limit. You know, $15 is what we said. You know, and the first year that Susie and I, after we set the limit, Susie and I, we decided that because we were the ones who encouraged the limit, that we would stick to the limit. And, you know, we found out that people in our family do not know what limit means. And I'm just going to tell you, that bothers me, you know. I mean, the first year we limited it, and Susie and I, you know, we went to Walmart and bought everybody Christmas sweaters. So that was the year that everybody in our family got something from Susie and me, and it was Christmas sweaters. And so we're there, we're opening the Christmas sweaters up, and I look across, and there is my brother-in-law. He's opening up his $15 Christmas sweater as I am opening up my $45 shirt. And Susie got something from that French store, JCPenney, and it costs more than $15 too. So that year we said, okay, now we're going to do this again next year. The limit is $15. That year, when we drew names, Susie and I drew, I don't remember now who it was, but we went and we got them a wallet. We thought this is a great year for wallets, and so we got wallets. And as my brother-in-law is opening up his wallet, I am opening up my $45 shirt that my sister got me. This year we gave away, we did kind of a Dirty Santa type thing where we bought something that had to do with our favorite. We've already had Christmas at our family at Thanksgiving, and so we gave away what was our favorite Christmas movie. And for those of you who know my heart, you know that I gave something that had to do with The Grinch. I have a granddaughter that loves The Grinch, and she's my favorite, I'm just telling you. And that's the way it goes, though. Have you ever noticed how we do gifts? I mean, a lot of times we give gifts, and then ever who gets that gift, they feel that they've got to give a gift back that is at least of equal value, if not more. And so then you have to give a gift for the gift that you got, that the gift that you gave, and it becomes this cycle of mess that you have to deal with. And oh my goodness. Wouldn't it be something if one year we just said, okay, we're not doing anything, and we're going to focus on Jesus? Yeah, He is my favorite, I promise you. He's green. I'm not, but He is. So. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to go at Christmas a little different this year. Most of the time when you start talking about Advent messages, you really start talking about Matthew or Luke, because you want to look at those, because especially Luke, being the doctor that he was, the physician that he was, he tells us such detail about Jesus's birth. Matthew begins with, you know, the lineage. Matthew wrote about the king that had come. But we're not going to either one of those this year. We're going in a little different direction this year. We're going to be talking about the gift of Christmas all during the next 4 weeks. But we're not going to Matthew, or we're not going to Luke. We're going to go to John. And I hope that as we go through this different kind of Advent series, that the Lord is going to bless you and the Lord is going to help you, as He has blessed me and as He has helped me as I've been going through this. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5 together this morning. John speaks here of the God that was before us, when he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." This is the Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I really believe that when you begin to look at this and you begin to think about this, of all the things that Christmas does for us, especially in the Christian community, it really should remind us of the fact that God is at work in all things. He really is. God is at work in all things, and He was in this thing that we call Christmas. He was in that from the very beginning. He was in the incarnation of Jesus. He was in the embodiment of Jesus into our world. But please understand something, and we're going to look at this as we go through this morning, that just whenever Jesus was born was not when all this started. It was started long before that. And so I want you to understand this morning that the gift of Christmas is God before us in eternity. Look at what it says there in verse 1, one more time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He was with God in the beginning. I want to tell you something, folks. No more meaningful statement could have been made about this gift of Christmas than to say what John says here, that in the beginning was the Word. Now, it's not just by chance that John says basically the same thing that we have in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis 1:1 speaks of the God before creation. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. And then you find here in John chapter 1, verse 1, that John speaks of in the beginning was the Word. And every time you read that word Word there, and it's capitalized, it's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. I told the group a few weeks ago, the group on Sunday night, that when I was a teenager, we had I was on a band trip, and we were in Huntsville, Alabama, at a mall there in Huntsville, and there was this young man standing outside, and as he was standing outside there, he was talking to a lot of the kids in the band, and everybody knew I was the preacher's kid. I was also chaplain of the band. Now, that I would try to tell you this morning that I was living right in such a way that I could be called chaplain of the band, but I was not. All I did every time, and this was when we could still do this, all I did every time before we had a performance is I led the band in the Lord's Prayer. And so I got called chaplain of the band. And because he was out there talking to them, and because he was out there really saying some things that we do not believe and that it are not true, he was out there, he had a bunch of them confused. And so to get everything straightened out, they call for the chaplain of the band, who is the preacher's kid, who is supposed to know everything. As I told the group on Sunday nights a few weeks ago, it was right at that point in time that I really came to realize that I didn't know as much about God's Word as I thought I did. Because I couldn't answer him. He began to talk about the fact that in the beginning was the Word. And he began to try to say to all those who were there in that group of kids as we were standing there that Jesus was nothing more than a created being. That is so far from the truth, folks, that I can't even begin to tell you how far from the truth it is. And as you read what John has to say here, we serve an eternal God. When you begin to look at what other people in our world might say, we serve an eternal God. Before this creation, before all this that I love to look at, and all this that I love to look at, you know, through everything, we serve a God who was before us in eternity. Amen. Before the first bird ever sang a song, before the first dawn of that first day, God was. And for those fishermen in here, before that first bass jumped in that first pond, God was. God was. But not only was God there, but John tells us that not only was God there, but that Jesus was there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John uses words here that we really miss in our language. John is telling us that before the beginning of any of this ever started, God was, Jesus was, the Holy Spirit was, you say. In the beginning of all this, the very essence of God was at work in our world. When God spoke to Moses and said to Moses, when Moses said, "Who am I supposed to say is sending me?" When God says, "I am that I am," there in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, he is telling Moses and he is telling Israel that he was, that he is, and forevermore will be. And the gift that we enjoy at Christmas is God before us in eternity. Before there was time, before there was space, before there were stars, before there were planets, before any of this, the gift was. The gift is. The gift forevermore will be. Because you see, the gift is God. But not only do you look at this and see that the gift of Christmas is God before us in eternity, but I've already touched on it, but you also see that the gift of Christmas is God before us in creation. Because John says there in verse 3 that through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. Most of the time when we think of creation as a gift, and I'm going to tell you, I love nature. I love to go out. As I said a few weeks ago, what I saw this fall was beautiful. How anybody can look at what is going on in our world, even in the deadness of winter. And I hate cold weather. Everything about what we see, everything about what we experience, everything about this is perfect, except for the fact, as Pastor Tyler said just a few moments ago, everything about this is wonderful, except the fact that sin has invaded our world. I'm going to give you a little bit of a lesson this morning. The sun is 93 million miles away from Earth. Just this morning, I love how all these things come up on Facebook. And this morning, as I was just scrolling through just before I got ready, somebody had put on Facebook the size of our moon and our Earth together, you know, pictures in proportion. And then they pulled out a little bit to show the Earth and the moon and some of the smaller planets in our solar system. And then they pulled out a little bit more. And then you could see the sun and the moon and the planets in some of the other larger planets in our solar system. And then they pulled back a little further, and there was Jupiter. And then they pulled back a little further, and there was our sun. And they began to pull back a little further and a little further, a little further, to show the proportions of our universe. And by the time you get to that great star Betelgeuse, I'm telling you, you can't even see our sun. And where all this came from, how this started, was a picture that the Hubble Space Telescope took of a region of space that up until Hubble was there that they thought was completely empty. Oh my goodness, we are in a vast place. Those of you who have been here on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, you know that I'm a space nut. I absolutely love it. I told Susie one day, I said, the best thing that could have happened to me is that I'd never looked through that first telescope. I was hooked. I don't mean just a little bit. I mean, it fascinates me. We're 93 million miles away from Earth. Any closer or any further, life couldn't have existed. The rotation of our Earth is 24 hours long, and any longer would have created a planet that would be much too hot for life. Any shorter would have created a planet that was much too cold for life. The rotation of our Earth is on a 23-degree axis. Any further up, any further down, life could not have existed. Oxygen is about 21% of our atmosphere. Any more than that, life couldn't have existed. Any less than that, life couldn't have existed. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, it didn't happen by chance. God was in creation. God was moving. God said, let there be light. And in 186,000 miles, a second, light was there. Have you ever been in a room that was completely dark and all of a sudden the lights be turned on? I was in Ruby Falls one time with the choir, and when we were in college, and we had walked, and that was my second trip down there. There won't be a third. And when you got close to the falls, you know, they turned out the lights and you could hear it all. And then all of a sudden they turned on the lights and there was Ruby Falls. But when they turned on the lights, or when they had turned off the lights, somebody took my hand and I thought it was somebody in our choir group. And when the lights came on, it was a lady. I didn't have a clue who she was. We all want somebody to hold on to in the dark, don't we? You see, God was in creation. And I'm old-fashioned enough to believe in creation, and I'm convinced of the fact that there is a God and that He has expressed Himself through our creation. And I believe all that. I don't know how God did it. I've told people this the past few weeks as we've been going through a lot of this on Sunday nights over there. I don't know how He did it, but this much I do know, He did it. There is an intelligent designer behind all of this that we see. You see, there was the God that was the gift in all of this before creation. And there was a God in here in all this before there was even eternity and time. But there is the gift of God who was and is God before us as the light and the life of this world. Verse 4, in Him was life. That life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. You go down to verse 9 there, and John says, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He's speaking there of Jesus. John is very clear when he begins to speak about this one fact that God through Christ is the light and the life of this world. I mean, John is writing to a group of people who understood what darkness was all about. There were not street lights like we know. There was not anything like that. There was darkness, but not only was there darkness as far as the physical world was concerned, this was a group of people that understood what darkness was because they experienced on a daily basis the spiritual darkness that was around them. John was writing to a group of people who understood what being dead was all about. Can you imagine going for a day without thinking about God? Can you imagine a week or a month or a year? Can you imagine living your life 75, 85, 95 years? Can you imagine living that life and knowing that God had been silent your entire life? These people, until Jesus came along, had experienced 400 years of silence. 400 years of darkness. 400 years of not really knowing what was going on or why it was happening as it was. And let me just go ahead and tell you, the Greeks and the Romans, they were no better off because they really didn't know whether there was a God or not. And they lived in darkness. Folks, I want you to understand this morning that what we are experiencing in our world is not much different than what they were experiencing in their world. You talk to the average person these days, and I'm telling you, they don't have a clue what's going on. They don't have a clue. All they do is they watch the news. If they watch the news, or they listen and get their news from social media, or they get all this stuff. And I'm telling you, if that is all that I had to look to, if that's all I had to believe in, I would find a high place and jump off of it. If I didn't believe that there was something more, how destitute would I feel? I mean, what would life be? Would it even be worth living if there's nothing more than what we see? I mean, these folks had experienced darkness like we can't even begin to imagine, at least on Sunday morning. It may not be the best messages you ever heard, but at least on Sunday mornings you get one. Every week as I go through the week, Three something media here in the area puts out obituaries over Facebook. Young lady, 29 years old, was in there last week. A guy, 58, was in there this week. That's a little closer to where I am. Whether we're Americans or whether we're Hispanics or whether we're African or whether we're whatever we are, we all understand what death is. We all understand what darkness is. We understand that it's not just physical. We understand that there is something going on inside of us which we can't explain. We have something inside of us that yearns for God. We want more than just darkness. We want more than just hopelessness. We want something to be filled in us that gives us purpose. We want something to be filled in us that gives us a reason to get up in the morning and go. And the reason that so many in our world are so very unhappy is because they don't have any reason to get up and go in the morning. They have life, L-I-F-E, but they have no real reason for living. They live in darkness, even though they may be surrounded by lights. They don't know what they need, but they know they need something. And what they need is the gift of Christmas. What they need is this one who came into this world to give us light and to give us life. Let me show you something that I want you to get. It's interesting to me, and I really had not noticed it that much, but John repeats this statement of light and life throughout his other three epistles. It must have been something that John grasped a hold of because, and we're going to talk about this in the coming weeks, about how we beheld him. We saw him. We touched him. He touched us. Oh my goodness, when you begin to think about it, I mean, John understood. He caught a glimpse of who Jesus was, and he didn't want to keep it to himself. He wanted everybody to know that Jesus was the light and light of this world. We've got a beautiful tree down in the Family Life Center this year. And let me say this, all of you who came and helped decorate, thank you so much. But as beautiful as that tree is, I'm telling you, and it's pretty. And that's something for Grinch to say that, you know. That light does not compare to the light that we receive from Jesus. I was standing over here just a moment ago, and I looked at that candle that was there, and I thought, oh my, that is such a small candle in this big, big room. But if we were to turn out the lights, it would be enough for any and all of us to be able to see it. You know. But this gift of Christmas, it is a gift of life. It's a gift of light, but it's not even something that we experience with our eyes. It's something that we experience with our heart. It's not just something that we receive. It is something that we experience in a way that I can't even begin to explain to you this morning. Except to say this to you, it is God. It is God before us in eternity. It is God before us in creation. It is God before us in all of this, the gift of Christmas that is there. Everything has an origin. And the point of origin is the greatest gift that ever was given, and that is God. And the amazing part to me is in the vastness of all of this that in which we live, that God has somehow picked this planet, and that God has somehow picked this people to be willing to share His life and to be willing to share His light. You see, Christmas is not about gifts given. It is not about gifts given. It is about the gift of Christmas that has been freely given to us, freely given in eternity, freely given in creation, freely given in light and life. And the question that I have for you this morning is, have you received that gift? You know, have you received Jesus into your heart and life? Do you have light? Do you have a reason to get up in the morning?
Do you have hope that goes beyond what you see on the 5 o'clock news or what you see on social media? Do you have something in you that says, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through? One of these days, we're going to understand it all. And the hopelessness that we feel, the hurt that we feel, the pain that we feel, it's all going to be understood because God is not going to waste pain in our lives. He's working through all of that. Do you have what you need today to get up in the morning? Jesus is the reason. God is at work. And He will help you today, this gift of Christmas. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together. We're thankful, Lord, that even in the tiredness of the person, we're grateful, Lord, that the truth is revealed. And I ask You, God, that You would bless those who are sitting here this morning. I ask You, God, that You would bless those who are watching this morning on Facebook. Thank You, God, that You were the gift of Christmas in eternity. Before time ever existed, You were. Thank You, God, that You were present in creation. And that the Word was made flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we're so grateful, Father, that He is the life. He is the light of the world. And because of who He is, because of who You are, because of the fact that Your Holy Spirit can indwell us, that we have hope and we have a reason to get up in the morning and to go again. But Lord, if we feel hopeless this morning, if we feel without a purpose in our lives, thank You, Lord Jesus, that You can give us a reason to live. You came and died so that we could be forgiven of our sins, so that we could live with You for eternity. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I wonder this morning, Susie, would you come and just play something? With every head bowed, every eye still closed, I wonder if there might be one, maybe more this morning, that if you were to use a word for your life right now, you would say hopeless. Maybe you might even use the word helpless. Maybe you feel that you are without purpose this morning. I'm so glad to tell you that Jesus came and He lived. He died. He was resurrected. He has ascended. He did all of this in order that you might receive the gift. The gift of eternal life. Maybe this morning you just simply either right where you're seated, or if you feel the need, maybe you need to come and either sit here in these chairs on the front or bow here at these altars this morning. Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord Jesus, I need hope. I need help. I need You this morning. Maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe you need to start off Christmas real early this year by receiving the greatest gift that you'll ever receive, and that's the gift of eternal life. Is there one, maybe more, that you just simply need to come and bow here? Or you need to come and sit here and just simply say, oh God, here I am. I need You. Are there others? Do you just need to come
We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. We thank you, Father, that you are at work in our world, even though what we might see would tend to make us think that things are hopeless. But as Paul prayed, may the God of all hope fill us with joy and peace. May we overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, that you are at work. We're thankful, Lord, that if there are those, even right where they're sitting this morning, that they've just simply said, oh God, I need you, I need your hope, I need your help. Thank you, God, that you have done that for them today. We rejoice in your goodness. We rejoice in the gift of Christmas. And may we go from this place today with the assurance in our hearts that we have received that gift. And may you help us and use us to spread the news of that gift to people who are around us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had together. Lord, as we gather for choir practice, as we gather for small groups this evening in various places, may your Holy Spirit bless and help as only He can. And for what you're going to accomplish in our hearts and our lives, we give you praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I'm glad you're here this morning. You're dismissed.